Hi everyone and welcome back to The Offline Gamer. This is episode 87. I'm Matt.
I'm Karen.
And today we are joined by friend of the show, good old chap, Alicat Games demonstrator extraordinaire, who you will know from our previous one of our previous episodes. It's Matty G. Matt, welcome back.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you.
We've got lots and lots and lots of things to catch up on. Before we get started, belated Happy New Year to all of our listeners. This is our first episode of 2024. We had to take a little break because I had a very small mental health crisis that needed to be dealt with. But I'm all okay now, thankfully.
Good.
Yes. We thought, what better way to have our first episode of 2024 than to have Matt back to talk about all the exciting conventions he's been going all around the world to attend with Alicat Games.
Yes, all over, everywhere, back and forth.
Before we start, do any of us want to talk about any fun games we've been playing lately? What have we been playing?
So my last game was last night, actually, playing Dead of Winter, Crossroads game.
I've played that and failed miserably at it.
But it is another one of those games that I feel like you are not supposed to win.
Yeah.
you're supposed to play it, enjoy playing it, but you're not supposed to win it. So we lost twice to the zombies.
Cool. Oh, well. What have we played recently? We're going to do a full wrap-up in our next episode, but what's the last thing we played?
Forest of Pangaea.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
Kickstarter we got probably last year sometime, where you are, it's like a area control sort of game, I guess. You're putting trees down. Well, you've got this little like tree spirit that you move around the board, and depending on where your spirit is, you can grow trees in the spaces next to it. You plant seeds, and then on the next turn, those seeds get it turned into trees. And then you can also make the trees taller by putting extra little things on top of them, which is quite cool. And you gain points for having specific trees in a pattern that match some objectives that are out on the table. It's fun, but we'll talk about that fully when we do our proper roundup. So let's talk about Essen 2023. Let's give a few stats before we start. So this is on their website. So 193,000 visitors from 85 nations, 935 exhibitors from 56 countries, 1,750 novelties. I don't know what that means, but it was across six halls, which is 62,500 square meters, and it took place over 4 days.
Wow.
Did it seem like there were 193,000 people there?
Oh, it felt like there were 193 million people at Essen. It was possibly the hardest and most crazy convention I've ever done. And I've done a few now of differing sizes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think you can understand 193,000 people until you... It's three Taylor Swift concerts worth of people.
Yeah.
There you go. Doing Taylor Swift concerts. It's harder. But yes, it was possibly the most intense convention I've ever done.
I think the closest thing for us is the F1, isn't it? That gets like 200,000 people.
Probably. Yeah.
So yeah. And then when everyone's leaving at the end of the Sunday, it's just like a huge mass of people and you're just standing in the middle of it all like sardine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, take those 200,000 people and squeeze them into seven exhibition halls in the Essen Messeplatz, and yeah, you might come close to just how manic it was. We had a fairly big stand there this year. I think it was 50 square meters. Yeah. And we were demoing primarily Arborea, which was the Essen launch this year, with our Kickstarter collections being available.
Last year.
Oh, God, yes. This year, last year. It's all 1 year, Matt. It's all merged into one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Arborea was the Essen Lord last year, and we had 240 people collect it at Essen, and then we sold out of it probably by Saturday afternoon at Essen as well. It was incredibly popular. And yeah, it was the if you've been to the UK Games Expo, you might think you know what a convention's like. If you take the UK Games Expo and quadruple it, you're getting close to the halls. And then if you do that again with the people, that's the people. I mean, you couldn't get out of our booth from one place to another. Like, if you had an hour's break, you couldn't get into another hall. It was just so mad. It was a very long, long expo for me, because I went to the Alicat headquarters on, like, the Tuesday, and we loaded up the van and we drove to Essen.
Well, that was fun. Which
is a 9-hour drive. That was the night. The drive there and back was probably the most fun for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love chatting to Cesar and Liam, the top guys at Alicat, and we just sat and chatted for 9 hours in the van. However, we arrived on Unification Day, so it was a national holiday in Germany. Thanks, David Hasselhoff.
I was going to say, is that the Berlin Wall holiday? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But everywhere was shut, and there was only one place open for food by our Airbnb. And let's just say I wasn't particularly well after that food, and that threw me off for the whole of Essen. I was not well for a lot of it, but you push through with these things, don't you? So yeah.
Did you take it in turns driving, or did one of you do everything?
We took in turns driving the van. We were thankfully all on the hire van. And then I had a hire car in Germany as well to shuttle people back and forth from the Airbnb and that kind of stuff, which was fun. It was just, it's a lot of work. You don't, again, until you've been to Essen, the whole sort of area shuts down. And they have road closures and they direct traffic into the 19,000 car parks that they've got, because there's just so many people coming. It's intense. It's a bit like they'd be shutting down the whole of Birmingham city centre to do it, if they were to do it here. And
wow, that's big.
It's mad. Yeah. And I mean, the halls are ginormous, and the noise. It's one thing I can't get. If you've got a noise sensitivity and you go to Essen, take earplugs, take ear protector, that kind of thing, because the noise is just like a constant aircraft overhead all the time. But there was lots of good bits about it as well. I mean, there were a hell of a lot of new games to look at. One of the ones I was most interested in was Feed the Kraken. I don't know if you've seen Feed the Kraken.
I think we've seen it. I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
I'm sure it's crossed our radar at some point.
Yeah, it's a special deduction game, a bit like Secret Hitler, inverted commas. But you're sailors on a pirate ship, and you're trying to direct the pirate ship either to the pirate coast, to the sailors, or there's the Kraken. And you've got a priest or a Kraken worshipper who's trying to get fed to the Kraken, and as you go along you got to throw people off the ship if you think that they're a bit iffy or whatever. It's a very good social deduction game. It was a lot we managed to get hold of a copy after Essen and play it, and it was a lot of fun with the right group of people. I think you can play with like 11 or 12 people if you're up to it.
Oh, it's got little gun tokens. That's fun.
Yeah because the gun tokens let you vote and take control as you're voting in the which way should we go type discussions. So, yeah, that was a good game.
Well, you don't normally like social deduction games, do you? But it's a pirate game, so you might...
Yeah, it sounds like a fun interpretation of it. A fun way to do it, because you've got... There's various, there's like Blood on the Clock Tower and werewolf type ones, but this does sound like it's more up my street, so...
And I think it plays a bit quicker as well. I think Blood on the Clock Tower, you have to really get into it and be, it's almost RPG stroke social deduction, isn't it? Secret Hitler's fun with the right group of people, but this would be fun with most people, I think. Played it a few times now with my gaming group, and it has been very successful.
Okay, well, that's Feed the Kraken. What else have you got on your list of things that you saw?
Yeah, that's a bit more difficult. I don't think I saw much more. There was the Cascadia expansion came out, Essen.
We haven't played that.
My sister is obsessed with Cascadia, and absolutely loves the game. And they've played something like 200 games of it in the last year or something stupid.
Wow.
So I managed to get hold of a copy of the expansion because it was launched at Essen, and bring that back for them. I haven't had a review back yet of them about what they think of the expansion.
Well, we've got two of their follow up games, which is I think they're the follow up games from when was Cascade. Yeah, Cascade is 2021. We've got Calico and what's the other one? Verdant, which are Verdant, two of the other games that flat out. Yeah,
we enjoyed that. We played that at Aircon last year.
Yeah, we played it with Philip Casting last year. Yeah.
So the other things that were touting around were Three Ring Circus, which was quite popular, but I think that had been launched at the Games Expo or had been demoed at the Games Expo. But it was definitely a Gen Con Three Ring Circus, because at Gen Con they had a popcorn machine that just made everyone smell of popcorn.
Oh yeah, you told us about that back in California. Yeah.
But that's a Fabio Lopiano game. Fabio Lopiano, great designer. Barcelona was doing the rounds at Essen, which is Danny Garcia, who's the Arborvia designer for Alicat. I didn't really see a lot more. Oh, White Castle. White Castle was being really touted out there, which is a dice placement, worker placement game. This is by De Beer. And it looks really nice, and I've heard really good reviews, but I haven't played it, so I'm not going to give any commentary on it yet. But my one of my gaming group has it, so we will be playing it soon.
Complexity 3 out of 5, so it's on the medium heavy scale, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's overly complicated. I think it plays in 45 minutes ish. It's not a big game.
The box. Let's have a look.
Dice, looking at pictures, dice and worker placement.
Yeah.
Well, it looks a bit. So.
Ages 12 and up, 1 to 4 players, 50 to 70 minutes.
Yeah. 50 minutes if you don't do worker placement dice games.
Yeah. Or 2 hours the first time you play it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's standard, really. It's I've always a 2 hour game, 4 hours the first time you play it.
Well, it's a good job when we get our coffee, we'll have someone available to teach us how to play, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll definitely happily come and teach Arborvia. And we were also demoing Essen Kalamala, which was the most recent Kickstarter launch Alicat, which is a reprint of the original Kalamala, but with a few extra add-ons and expansions for it, because it's again, it's Fabio Lopiano, it's a great worker placement, except it has the unique worker system where the worker discs are piled up and it activates everybody's disc in a pile. So there's a marketplace which gives you certain resources, and you place your workers on top of other workers, and every worker triggers. And when the fourth worker's added, that kicks out and causes scoring of certain things. And that's run through its Kickstarter already, finished its Kickstarter while we were at PAX. It did pretty well. But it's a really beautiful Elo Tool artwork reprint of a fairly old game.
Oh, yeah, they haven't redone the art. They've reused the original art.
So Eno Tool's redone all of the art with new artwork. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just looks like the original game, but I guess it's just like higher quality.
Yeah. And then, so there's an expansion which you actually see on the Board Game Geek website. There's some photos have been taken of different bits. And that the expansion adds in some new scoring areas and new ways to store the cloth and things. So, it's going to be nice, and we'll be demoing that probably at UK Games Expo quite a bit.
Yeah,
this year. I need to get my hands on an actual copy of that. I've played the demo copies.
What's the waiting on that?
Keep a look out for that one.
2.79 out of 5. Okay, so that's a bit lighter.
It's a bit lighter, but I think that the expansion's adding an extra level of complexity that isn't taken into account on the Board Game Geek stuff yet.
Okay.
Because you have a whole new set of actions and new places to score, so it makes quite a difference. And the other thing that we were sort of soft launching at Essen was our Unfold series of games, which is the adventure escape room in a booklet type format.
Oh yes,
there. Yeah. So they've been really popular. Actually, we showed them at Gen Con to some of the education people and things, but we actually had full versions to sell at Essen, and yeah, they were very popular there and have been very popular at all of the conventions since, basically.
Yeah, so we got a free sampler because I don't know which marketing genius came up with this, but there was a thing with Tabletop Gaming Magazine.
Yep. Through the Wall. Yeah. Yep. We were giving those away at Gen Con as well for people to have them. And we still have a few that we available via the Alleycat website, and I think can be you only pay shipping and you can have them for free. But they're, yeah, those are a nice little sort of 20-minute sample version of one of the main games. The two main games are about an hour and a half's play, and it's one to however many people, because it's a puzzle solving game, which either gets harder with more people or easier with more people. It's one or the other. I haven't played through them yet with the family. Keep meaning to sit down and go through them, but we've got 10,000 games in our house, so
well, yeah.
Finding time to play one game is hard enough.
Yeah. I think we did play through it. We sort of noticed and went, oh, we recognised this when it came through in the magazine, and we did actually play through it, and without giving away any spoilers, yeah, I thought it was really clever, the little mechanisms in there.
Yeah.
It was good fun, and yeah, like you say, didn't take too long to play through that version.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to seeing a full version, I think, of that. I think we'd enjoy that, so
I'm sure one can be arranged as well, so you have a look at.
I wasn't trying to hint, but yeah, when we can get our hands on one.
I don't have any in my car at all. It's fine. Yeah, so Essen felt like a really long show, and I think by the end of Essen, we were all probably on edge and a little bit overwhelmed by the experience. Even the hardcore they've done Essen several times, people said this year was one of the hardest Essens. It's the most they've had since most people through the doors since COVID. And it just felt crazy. It just felt insanely busy. But it is the best board game expo to go to in the world. It's the one where everybody goes to launch their new games, and everybody sort of has it on their gamers' bucket list, isn't it, to go to Essen and actually enjoy Essen.
Yeah, it's still on ours at some point.
Yeah. You make that this year's thing to do, get along this year. I'm sure you can put it off.
Well, it falls in a bad time for Karen's holiday usually, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's October, isn't it? And I usually have an extremely heavy October work-wise, so yeah. We'll see. Depends when it falls in the month, but yeah.
Well, Matt can go. He's fine.
Just, yeah, I'll
expect plenty of presents. Make up for it, if that's the case.
Let's talk about PAX then.
Yeah, so
I'm guessing you didn't drive that way to that.
Yeah, it was a bit of a long drive, a bit west as well to get to Philadelphia. But PAX, so the start of December, PAX Unplugged, it's kind of the offline gamer version of PAX, which is the video game expo. But this is the board game equivalent of. And I think it's just that they're really lazy and don't like to change all their signage and just convert it slightly to be PAX Unplugged. But it's been going on for quite a few years now. It's a smaller convention than Essen by quite a lot. It feels a lot more like the UK Games Expo. But we flew into Philadelphia on the Wednesday before it started, and had to go in, get the stand set up, and go to IKEA, buy furniture, that kind of thing. Which was an interesting experience in America as well. So it's in the Philadelphia Exhibition Center or Convention Center, which is directly opposite the Philadelphia Market Hall, which is great because they do really nice food in the Philadelphia Market Hall.
Oh.
So anybody who goes to, I think it's a well-known thing, if you go to PAX, everybody goes to the Philadelphia Market Hall. It's like it's this boho traders food place. And it's great. So our Airbnb was probably about a half hour walk from the convention center. So we walked through Philadelphia most of the time, but it was a really nice town, really nice city. Very, very picturesque. And it had all the Christmas markets and things up because it was Christmas coming.
Is it the Reading Terminal Market? Is that?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at a picture of it. It is absolutely insane.
Yeah. There is any food you can possibly imagine you can get in the Reading Terminal Market. They do. It's like a proper marketplace with butchers and that kind of thing. But then they have restaurants and you can get your Philly cheese steaks and all that kind of stuff. Very, very nice place.
Wow. That looks amazing. I'm just looking at Matt's screen and it looks really good.
And that for everybody, basically at lunchtime, everybody hits that place. So PAX had, I think it was 37,000 people through the door. Very much UK Games Expo numbers. Not immensely busy like Essen. But it's one of the events you want to be at as a board game publisher, and there's a lot of exposure to new games and new companies there. We had a friend that I made at Gen Con called Cliff, who runs Darkwood Gaming, who make wooden gaming trays and meeples and things like that, had actually got a stand at PAX this year, and were there selling their laser cut wood things, and it's very nice. So we met up with him and we had meals together and stuff, which was really nice because it's nice to actually have a friend in America when you go there, because it's a very busy place full of people you don't know. But I think there again our primary focus was Arborea, which we sold out of pretty quick. We'd also got the Paper Dungeons expansion, which had launched just before PAX, I believe. We'd shown bits of it at UKGE and at Essen, but I think it was properly available at PAX, which adds a whole new set of side quests, because it's called Paper Dungeons Side Quests. And Paper Dungeons is our role and write dungeon explorer, that has been quite popular.
Yeah, I can reach our copy.
Yeah, I've got nice. I got a copy, I think, of that. Yeah. At UKG a couple of years ago.
But the expansion adds in some new bad guys, new maps, new ways to play it, side quests which give you a new way to score points, and you get a minion deck and a treasure deck, so you don't just fight like standard minions. Each minion can be different and it's randomized, and it gives you a whole new experience playing the game. That's been really popular. I'm trying to think now. My brain's gone blank. The one good thing about PAX was it was a bit quieter, so there was a lot more time for us to look around. Yep. And visit all the vendors and stalls that were there. And it seems to be the year of the mushroom game, or last year. The year of games around mushrooms.
We noticed that, yeah.
There was at least four launched within a couple of months of each other. But one that really caught our fancy was a game called Mycelium.
We've backed that, have we? I think we backed it.
Oh, hang on. No, that's Mycelium. Oh. There's Mycelium, there's two. And Mycelia.
Wow. Yes. Yes, the Mycelium is a fairly small independent board game producer. I should really remember the name of.
Is that Sofa Edition or is that a different one? That's what comes up on BGG, but
I'll just.
Or Mycelium, a mushing game.
Yeah, Mycelium, a mushing game.
Yeah,
now it's got a very Catan-y feel because it's played on a hex grid, although it's a fixed hex grid. But the idea is that you are mushlings and you are trying to create networks of nutrients across the board to the nutrient trees, and you place build roads a bit like in Catan. But though those allow you to collect resources from the trees and from caves and things, but you also have some effects on the cards that allow you to battle, fight over the roads and battle each other. So it's actually got a lot of in-depth tactics. So we got a copy on the first day after speaking to the guy, and we played it 2-3 times a night, each night at PAX. And actually... Wow. We were quite impressed with the mechanics of it. There were a few things that, from a personal point of view, I wasn't a huge fan of. It stuck player count, so you can play 2, 3, or 4, but you can't go higher at the moment. And my play group is always 5, generally. But it was a very, very nice game, so I've got a lovely copy of that, which I'll probably try and bring to one of the board game nights that Matt will eventually... Range.
Eventually, yeah. I am trying.
but the like you say, at the same time, there was Mycelia, and then there was another mushroom game that the name just completely has gone out of my head. But
well, to make it more complicated, there's 2 Mycelias as well. There's the one that we saw at UKG last year, which is the one that the British guy was doing, and there's another one by Ravensburger as well called Mycelia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's not going to cause anybody any headaches at any point at all. But, so Mycelium, a mushling game, let's use the full title, is definitely worth a look. The art in it is all done by the publisher's fiancé, and the artwork is stunning, absolutely stunning. It's definitely worth taking a bit of time and having a look at that if... anybody has any time. PAX also, one of the nice things about PAX is it feels a bit more local. So one of the stall holders there was the local game shop, which is the Philly Game Shop. And they are one of the nicest bunch of people that we've met on these sort of trips. And the game shop is literally 10 doors down from our Airbnb. So we popped in a lot and said hello and interacted with them a fair bit. And hopefully we're going to do some things with them for next year for PAX, which will be quite nice.
That's pretty handy.
Yeah, they're really good people. A nice, friendly shop. Really big shop, actually. Nice tables and things. So it's not like it's rammed into a tiny little building. But then again, everything in America seems huge. That should just be me.
They're probably quite small for you. Because you're quite tall.
Be careful where that. Yes, I am quite tall. But walking around these expos in America actually is one of the few times that I feel small, because there are some giants in America. And I have a conversation with somebody who is at least a foot taller than me at one point, and I'm 6'3". So it's like, oh, hello. I feel small now. But so PAX was a lovely experience. Absolutely wonderful. It was myself, Liam, and Ollie, who were the Alicat guys that were there, and it was just the three of us running the sand for the whole time. But we managed to demo quite a lot of Arborea, and Roaming a Day was very popular there as well. So, yeah.
How many of you were there on the stand at Essen?
Oh, there were probably 12 or 15 of us.
I'm guessing there were locals helping as well as people who were just...
Well, we had one local. The rest were all UKG crowd.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
More. Yeah. So we had a huge number of demos. We had an Airbnb that we were sharing there. And there was at least eight of us in the Airbnb. So, and then Cesar and Liam in their Airbnb and some of the people in hotels and things. So it's a big, big effort. We're actually having a bigger stand next year as well at Essen and UKGE. We're having at least probably double the size of stand at Essen. And we're having another 20 square meters at UKGE. So it's going to be bigger.
Lovely.
Which will be nice, and we're going to give us some flexibility to try some new things out as well. So keep an eye out for what we're doing at the UKGE this year.
We certainly will.
Officially say, but we're hoping to do some new and interesting things. PAX, our stand was quite small. It wasn't as small as Gen Con. Gen Con's probably the smallest of our stands. It was a lot quieter and a lot nicer experience demoing at PAX. So we had two demo tables and they were just busy a lot of the time. And then we managed to have a day, because of the way the flights worked out, we had a day in Philly on the last day, just exploring around Philadelphia, going to the Mosaic Garden, the Philadelphia Mosaic Garden. It's worth a visit if you're ever in Philadelphia and got some time. It's a historic art area which has been preserved as a mosaic garden. Really cool. Have a look on Google.
Okay.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
Is there anything else on PAX, or are we ready to move on to the last little convention?
I think that's all on PAX. Went to a gig in Philadelphia, which was fun.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, went to a band called Thumpasaurus. Ollie likes to book random gigs on these trips because he likes to try and get the most out of these trips. And he booked us a gig for a band called Thumpasaurus, who are now one of my favourite bands. A very interesting band who are sort of funky punk, funky pop type stuff, but it was a lot of fun. Friday night was quite entertaining.
If you Google them, the first thing that comes up is, in the beginning there was Thump, the primordial groove of the universe.
Yes.
Wow.
And that should set the theme for what you should expect from their music. But it was a lot of fun. It's one of the few times that we've actually managed to go and do something when I've been there, because Gen Con, we didn't really have any time to go and do stuff. Essen, we managed to go out for a meal at Essen, but we were all exhausted. And then, PAX, we managed to have some time to do stuff.
I've just brought up the music video for Strutting, and it's very interesting.
Yes, yeah. That's the one for people to watch.
If you like your cowboys, there you go. That's all I'll say.
Yes, sorted.
Yeah.
No, so after PAX, there was a small expo that we did, which was the To Boldly Game Expo at the Leicestershire Space Centre. It's run by the people who organise UKGE, so it is. It's quite interesting. There were an interesting group of people there, demoing mainly space themed games. So we were demoing Starfighters Rapid Fire, which is the Alley Cat space theme game.
But isn't that the one you were demoing the other year? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the one that I've been demoing since it was a prototype, and I've demoed it at every con we've had, basically. But it's the real-time roll and place space skirmish game. So you're all rolling a set of dice, place them on your spaceship's controls, and then shouting fire, and everybody's got to stop. And then you activate your systems going around the board, trying to shoot at each other, destroy shields, launch torpedoes, that kind of thing. It's quite a nice, fun, fast-paced game with the right group of people. If people like real-time roll-and-place type things, it is a lot of fun. I can't see, I don't think it's going to be up Matt Street. But,
So I like real-time games. I'm just thinking about someone else in this room.
Yeah, I'm not very good. I like my time to kind of think and plan, but I'd give it a go. I would definitely give it a go.
Well, I'm sure we can arrange that as well. But it was really popular with families. So We often, at these smaller events, you have families sit down and play, and so you have a mixture of ages of kids. So different families with different gaming experience. So they all seem to enjoy it when they were playing it. Often you're very flexible around the rules for children with this game. Like, where in the game, if somebody shouts fire, you're all supposed to stop placing, but you might let kids finish placing their dice and that kind of thing, just to make it a bit easier. But that was enjoyed by everybody I sat down and demoed it with. We also were demoing Tinderblocks and Kitten, because we do that everywhere we go, because, you know, handicap staple games. And those are really popular as well. But there were a whole group of people there. So we had Asmodee were there with us, and they were demoing Mlem Space Agency, which, as far as I can tell, is Space Celestia. If anybody's played Celestia.
On Steam, you mean the game Celestia, or do you mean is there an actual
board game?
There's a board game called Celestia,
with an airship that moves along islands.
Oh, yeah.
So the board game, but Mlem just seems to be the same, but you're in a rocket going through planets. However, I might be oversimplifying it, but from what I could pick up from my view of it, it has that feeling. And I love Celestia, so I play Celestia a lot, so I'll probably play Mlem a lot if I get hold of a copy. And then there was a lovely couple of guys next to our stand selling a game called Flip Fleet. I'm trying to remember if there was the guy who designed it, Jackson and Paul, actually manufactured it themselves. So it's laser cut perspex ships or acrylic ships that you flick around a playmat, and then you flick dice off them to attack each other and things. It was a lot of fun, and people were really loving playing it. So I managed to get hold of a copy off them, and have played it last night with my gaming group. It was a lot of fun.
Cool. I feel like we've seen that before on... Was that Kickstarter or...
It has been on Kickstarter.
Yeah,
it was on Kickstarter. It did really well on Kickstarter. They have been at the UKGE a couple of times, and will be there again this year, because there's actually a whole bunch of expansions and new ships and ways to play. So it's two players by default, but you can go up to five players with the different expansions. So Yuri Dice Games is the publisher. And it's not very complicated, but it is a lot of fun. I mean, it's flicking dice around them and that. It's the kind of thing that draws people in.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah, it was a very, very small event, though, the Spaldy game. It was probably sold out each day. And the way the Space Centre works with their annual tickets, you have to rebook, and they're limited booking the annual tickets because it was completely sold out. So we did quite a lot of demoing there, and sending people to the Anycat website to buy stuff because we didn't take stock with us. And I think the probability is we'll be there again next year as well, if we're invited back, which I think we will be.
Yeah, we'll have to try and make our way over to that. It's been a few years since I've been to the Space Centre. I'd like to go again. So.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's a lovely, lovely venue. And the staff were really friendly and really looked after me and Drew, who were there. Doing the work this time around.
I think last time I was there was for a Star Trek convention.
And silence chills.
Yeah, well, what did that cause the conversation to end? I don't know. Okay, then. What's coming up next then for you, Anycat wise? Is it UKG, or if there's anything in between there and then?
So I am doing the Camping and Caravan show. So... It turned out that Tinderblocks is really popular amongst the camping and caravan community.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I can see how, but yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to be doing be at the Camping and Caravan show, selling Tinderblocks to the general public. which is lots of fun. Dunring Dinderlocks is always fun. People love it. So that'll be quite a nice experience. But after that, the next big thing is the UK Games Expo, which is end of May, June, isn't it? So we've all got that booked off. Yeah, I assume.
I have, yeah. We've got the Thursday, Friday and the Monday off, I think.
Yeah, I think we've made it a long weekend just to recover. So
yeah, that's what I've done.
Yeah.
Thursday setup day, but actually Thursday I normally end up doing the retailer day, which is a lot of fun, where you talk and meet and greet all the retailers and show them your products and things.
Is that in the Hilton?
Yeah, it's in the Hilton. It's really nice. You get to talk to the retailers instead of just sort of see them walking around. So 3 days of demoing and Monday to recover, which is a necessity, because I think last year I did something like 58,000 steps just for the Games Expo and I was absolutely exhausted.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, but probably did more walking than you, to be fair, didn't we? Because we were actually walking around most of the weekend.
Yeah, to be fair, I did most of that on the Thursday. Because it walking back and forth from the Hilton to the hall stuff, and it's quite a journey. I had to walk to and from my car the other day from the NEC to my car, and I was like, why is it so many steps? Why?
Well, that it can charge you an absolutely extortionate fee for the premium parking.
Oh yes, then you're right outside the hall.
Yeah.
I won't comment on that. But we've got a few new things coming up that we're hoping to have launched soon and launched at the UK Games Expo and other things. We announced Happy Home last Games Expo, which is a polyomino placement home design game with a little bit of an IKEA theme or feel, not theme. So you have to sort of shop for your polyominoes around a store and then place them into your home to score the best layouts and such, and you have bonus scoring mechanisms for things. I do have a prototype copy of that in my car currently, which I'm going to play.
Yeah, it's not on BGG yet, so
it's not on BGG. Yeah, that's how new it is. But when we did our unveiling at the UK Games Expo, it was in the glass cabinet as one of the games, but very close to being there. There's also a couple of sort of semi-exclusive announcements I'm allowed to talk about.
Oh, are you allowed to? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we've got... I'm just going to make sure that I say this right, because every time I say it, I struggle. Fate Flip. And it's a series of games that are going to be coming out. The first one's called Washed Ashore. There's too many shuzz in that for me to say clearly. Washed Ashore, which is a sort of castaway Robinson Crusoe theme game. And it's basically a choose your own adventure style game.
Oh, this is by the same people who made the Unfold games, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So that will be fully revealed imminently. So I won't give too many more details about it. But that is going to be announced, revealed, and shown imminently. I have a prototype in my car as well, which I'm going to play.
Everyone needs to steal Matt's car.
No, don't. Wait till I empty it, then steal it. That's fine. We also have a game coming up called Ada's Dream, which we haven't fully announced, so you don't think you'll find much to do with it anywhere. But it's one of a series of games that are going to be coming out that will be announced again imminently, and it will be our next Kickstarter launch. So
there is a store page on BGG for this.
Yeah.
Worked with Ada Lovelace to help build the first computer fulfilling her dream in this alternative history Euro game. And it's part of the Alicat Games Advanced line.
Yes. So we realised, or I say we, Alicat realised that our games tend to fall into four sort of set categories. So we have our advanced games like Autobahn, Amon Ray, other things that begin with A, Ada Stream. It seems they all begin with A. Arboria.
Tennis Trial, you'd think. Would that come in that as well?
I think it would now be in the advanced line if we were redoing it into the packaging as such. Then you've got our essentials line, which is the things like Starfighters and Rome in a Day, those kind of games, the sort of lighter games. And then we've got our tin games. And there's another category that's completely slipped my mind. Yeah, stroking Tinder Blocks.
Yeah, there's a reason I've got a copy of Tinder Blocks here, which I'll explain in a minute, but carry on.
Yeah. So our games fall into four categories, and from now on, our packaging will show which category they fall into to try and help people understand the complexities of their games a bit better. Because one of the first questions we often asked is, well, how long is it to play? How complex is it? Is it difficult? And you can just sort of say, well, it's in the advanced line. It's for hobby gamers who are into more complicated or more in-depth games. So Ada's Dream. The artwork is also beautiful. You can't see the artwork yet. When it's announced properly, you will see the artwork. But it's looking absolutely stunning. Keep your eyes out for that announcement from the Adicat social media stuff.
That sounds pretty exciting. I'm sure we'll be looking for that one to come out, definitely.
Yeah, and hopefully, yeah, we're going to have some stuff ready to rock for Essen and UKGE and so on. But officially what's happening when, I don't fully know.
So that's, well, it's certainly plenty to keep you all occupied. There's a lot going on there, so.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you, mate. That's been a pleasure and very interesting to hear about. It makes me want to go to them, but then it's like I've always thought about Essen, but I feel like it's just too much. There's too much there that you're not going to be able to get the most out of it. I don't know.
I think Essen, you have to be able to dedicate the 4 days. You have to be able to plan your time around each of the halls and be willing to be bodged, shoved and banged all the way through the halls to get to where you want to go. But it is the place to go. And there's bits you can just avoid. Like there's a lot of, they break it down into sort of there's a family game section, there's a TCG section, there's epinephra or other stuff. And then there's like the main games halls. And the hall we were in, probably the one you'd spend the most time in, where all the publishers are demoing their new releases and things. But it's a lot of time. And it goes on, I think it's 10 to 7 each day. So it feels a lot longer, even though it's only like an hour longer than others. That last hour is killer. And they have like a food hall and food bits and stuff. So it's definitely an experience. I would say that most people, if you're going as a punter, you'd love it. Just make sure you're making yourself comfortable somehow, be it with earplugs or whatever makes you more comfortable in that kind of environment. Because for me, it was the noise that really pushed me over the edge towards the end of the show. Feeling ill and then this constant noise. Yeah. But it is an experience and it's definitely, I'm doing it. I'm going to do it again this year, hopefully. So I'll just hopefully be a bit more prepared.
Cool. I've just looked on BGG actually, and Barbacubes is listed as an upcoming release as well.
Oh yes, Barbacubes. It is the logical successor to Tinderblocks. It's still being worked on design wise, but I believe that we showed the tins at UKG last year as well. So the tin, you should be able to see images of the tins. It's very beautiful, nice pieces, but the actual gameplay is being finalized. So that will be announced soon as well.
And Cooley's showing us one of the co-designers of that as well.
That wouldn't surprise me. Cooley and Cesar often have great interactive discussions around games. So It's I don't know the full details, but I do know it's it is just the logical successor.
Yeah.
To Tinderbox.
Barbecue pieces. Look forward to investigating that a bit more. Hopefully we'll be able to see it at UKG this year.
Hopefully.
Right. Before we finish, you may have remembered a few minutes ago, I said I've got a little copy of Tinderbox here. Because we've been talking all about Matt's adventures with Alley Cat Games, and due to a Christmas miracle, we find ourselves with an extra copy of Tinderbox. So I thought we'd come up with a little competition to give it away. So I've been listening. While we've been talking, I've been thinking about a little question we can ask. So the question I think we're going to ask is, what is the name of the food market in Philadelphia that Matt says everyone should go to when they're visiting PAX? So if you've been listening all the way through, you'll know the answer to that question. If you haven't, you've skipped straight to the end, then shame on you. Go back and listen to the whole thing.
And as a little extra, we'll happily give away two other copies of Tinderbox.
Really?
The different sunset and night to whoever gets that question right. So,
we'll
top it up to the three. So you'll have all three.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
That's very generous of you.
Tinderbox is itself advertising. There you go. Anybody who played it loves it.
So. Are these two copies in your car at the moment, by any chance?
Maybe. Nothing else in my car, honestly, Governor. I'm going to go into my car now.
It's one of these figurative expressions. It's not a real car. It's where all the games
live. It's a logical car. So we will add a copy of the sunset and a copy of the night.
Oh, that's pretty nice of you. Okay. Right. So if you want to enter that competition, answer that question, email your answer to offlinegamerpodcast@gmail.com. And then at some point before the next episode, so the deadline is when the next episode is released, because we don't know when that's going to be yet. So you've got probably a month or so to answer that. And then I'll pick one winner at random of the people who email us the answer to the question. So that's how you get in contact with us as well, offlinegamerpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find all of our links and everything at links.offlinegamer.co.uk. Matt, do you want to plug anything? Obviously, you'll say alleycatgames.com.
Alleycatgames.com. We were running a big stock clearance sale the end of last year, but I'm pretty certain that's finished now. Although, knowing the way our website works, it could still be there. There is some items on sale still. Alleycatgames.com. And I heartily recommend that everybody try and get to the UK Games Expo. I think tickets have gone on sale fairly recently for that as well. So if you're based in the UK, it's one of the best, if not the biggest, events in the UK. So we're one of the second tier sponsors of the event.
Associate sponsors, I think.
Associate sponsors. I can never remember the correct terminology. Yeah. And we're going to have a pretty big stand there this year, and hopefully some new exciting things going on at the stand. So that should be pretty interesting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Matthew.
Yeah, well, most
thank you very much.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. And I guess we'll see you in our next episode. Will you all hear us in our next episode? I don't know. Because we'll see you in our next episode. Doesn't really make sense, does it?
Yeah. No, you don't want to see me. I've definitely got a voice for podcasts, not a face for podcasts.
I mean, I think I have as well, but somehow I managed to be in all our YouTube videos, so I don't know where that happened. Okay, cool. So, yes, thank you, everyone. And we'll see you in a few weeks or a month or so. I'll stop talking now. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.